I'm Neil McEvoy. I'm the leader of a new party in Wales called Propel. I first started, God, I got involved in politics when I was 17, back in 1987. I joined the Labour Party. I got elected as a Labour councillor in 1999. I was very disillusioned with the Blair years and the Iraq War and other things were the final nail, really. So I left the Labour Party. I joined Plaid Cymru in 2003. I organised the campaign in Cardiff for the council elections in 2004, where Plaid for the first time elected councillors inside the city. I got elected in 2008, re-elected on the council, and I became deputy leader of Cardiff for Plaid Cymru at the time. I suppose really that was when I wouldn't say troubles began, but because I was making decisions and radical decisions, for example, we got rid of most of the salaries over £100,000 a year. We created a St. David's Day festival. We opened six Welsh medium schools. We funded two others. I took half the deputy leader's allowance that was available to me to set an example. I suppose really I came to the attention of people. And they didn't like what we were doing, and lots of barriers were put up in front of me by Plaid Cymru. I got elected to the Welsh Parliament in 2016, again for Plaid Cymru, the Party of Wales, and it was pretty clear to me that I wasn't welcome. People did not want me elected. I mean, the hierarchy now, the members had no idea, but I lost funding. I was the only target candidate to lose funding from the party. The leader told me I wasn't fit to be a candidate. All this kind of stuff was going on. And despite that, I got elected, thought I'd work hard. So I tr really, really, I used to wake up at 4 a.m. and start work in those days. That was normal. What my office staff, by 9 a.m., had their days mapped out. So I'd email them at stupid o'clock. And I really made an effort. I started uncovering scandals. I was really keen on holding the government to account. And what was really weird was Plaid is supposed to be an opposition party. And I'd always thought that they were just pretty crap at politics and made bad decisions. But when I got to the top table, I realized that the decisions they made, which made no political sense, were actually deliberate because they had no real interest in power. They had no interest in change. They were just happy to prop up the Labour Party. And I was told to stop tripping the government up, which is bizarre for a so-called opposition party. I was told to work through the Labour group if I wanted to achieve anything. And I suppose the crucial point came when a company owned by a former Plaid Cymru politician had a public contract that they really should not have got. They were the only company who that could apply for it. There was no tender process. Ironically, it was with Ofcom regulating competition of all things. And I was told by Plaid Cymru to ignore it. And the threats went on. Ignore it or face the consequences.
Can you
So
just name the company?
yeah, Derrin, it's a lobbying firm. It's public record that they lost the contract. They had done the contract was not awarded properly. Rhodri Williams was involved in that, a name from the public sector in Wales. Billions, his nickname is, for whatever reason. And he left the organisation, he left Ofcom Wales, and then took over as chair of S4C, the Welsh language channel, television channel. And they ran into problems recently with him as chair. So my thanks off Plaid Cymru was expulsion. I was suspended by Plaid roughly 10 days after the story broke about Derrin in public. And I had put the questions in. I wouldn't row back. I was suspended on this some other grounds. Oh, yeah, this ombudsman inquiry into me found me to be a bully back in 2017. I'd horrifically said I wanted to restructure Cardiff Council. So some senior officers thought that was a threat to their jobs, so that they were bullied apparently by me. But what I was actually stating was a political policy that I did want to restructure the council. I wanted a fairer council. I didn't want people evicted unfairly, as had happened. And I wanted accountability. And I wanted people earning less money than they needed to. And I mean, those on £150,000 a year, for example, I saw no reason for them to earn that kind of money when you can get stacks and stacks of people to do the same jobs for
Yeah.
80,000, easy.
I mean, what you're describing here, having then been cast into the outer darkness. I mean, how did that work? Because you were still a member of the Senate, weren't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sort of a catalyst for change in a sense, because they passed legislation banning councillors from being members of the Senate. I was a councillor at the time, and bear in mind there were councillors elected there since 1999 onwards, but it was only when I got there that it was a problem. And they just passed new legislation where what I did will never be able to happen again, because I sat as an independent because I was elected in my own name, so I wouldn't pay attention to the party whips, and they could do one. I mean, at a couple of rows with, well, several rows with the whips, and just wouldn't accept certain aspects of their behaviour, like screaming at me in the face in front of people, for example. In any other workplace, that would just not be acceptable, but in politics, it somehow is. I'm very able to stand up for myself, so I did. I gave as good as I got, I'd say, with dignity. I didn't stoop to their levels, and I sat as an independent, carried on uncovering scandals, and then I became the most complained about politician in Wales. I was constantly before the standards committee. They have no standards. In the end, I knew they wanted to throw me out before the end of the term. So I ended up recording the Standards Commissioner. So if I was before the Standards Commissioner, who was a former High Court judge, if I was in at 9, I'd be there at 8:15, leaving my phone on record. I'd turn up late to give them time to chat, and it would annoy them that I was late. So they talk more. And I recorded them saying the most outrageous things. And I'd call a press conference when they threatened to imprison one of my staff. I mean, imprison one of my staff. Unbelievable abuse of power, a total abuse of power. So, call a press conference, released some of the transcripts that I had, and the High Court, former High Court judge, resigned within an hour. I'm told he was on a cruise in Norway somewhere and was told to resign by whoever it was. That was the inside story. Anyway,
So what sort of things were they saying about you, before you turned up? It sounds like a rather smart idea to record them.
yeah. There wasn't much evidence. How are we going to find him guilty? Asking the complainant how to question me, what best to focus on.
I love that, Neil. How are we going to find him guilty? I mean, what you're describing here really is a sort of clique of Labour and Plaid in Wales, also combined with the rather toxic idea of some sort of like strategic communications public relations firm that seems to be managing the whole process. And really,
Yeah.
the Welsh people, bless them, are shut out entirely.
Yeah, throw in the Lib Dems. They cooperate as well. When there was a minister who committed suicide, I'll come back to what I, well, let me just say, we ended up setting up our own political party, but that's another story. But when, go back to Derrin, when a minister committed suicide, and both Labour and Plaid Cymru had dirty hands in the matter, very dirty hands in what they did. The first person the First Minister called was his dad. He had a brief call with his dad when the news broke of the suicide. And the second person he called was a lobbyist who worked for Derrin, the firm, the lobbying firm. I remember questioning why one of the Derrin clients had got, I think it was £112 million off the government, Welsh government. So we're not talking £10,000. So I wanted to know why their clients were treating, got those kind of contracts. Again, that was very unwelcome. And I suppose they set the dogs on me, really. I remember, again, being done for being a bully. The bullying was that I called a care home and I was inquiring about the welfare of a child who was alleging abuse in care. Now, what the BBC never reported was that the person who the child said abused it, and I believe the child, by the way, the person who the child said abused it started the complaints process against me. So the whole focus then was not on the child, it was on me. The BBC would tell it. I was saying to them, look, this kid is in care. He shouldn't be in care. He said he's being abused. You've got to give him a voice. I was outside of this tribunal appealing to these journalists. And they said to me, but you're the story, Neil. And I'm like, whoa, wait there. So this kid's in care. He says he's being abused. And I'm the story because the care worker says I shouted down the phone at them. I didn't, by the way. It's just unbelievable. And at that moment, any respect I had for those individuals disappeared because it was more important for them to follow the rules of their masters, to portray me in a bad light, to damage my reputation, because I was standing against the First Minister in the election, and a child in care didn't matter. I mean, these people disgust me. I've said this to them. They disgust me, and
Well, I'd say even that, they're there to character assassinate you.
yeah, it was. I mean, I got banned then. I'm a bit gutted, really, to be honest, because recently my record ban from the Senate of 3 weeks without pay has been beaten. They threw somebody else out for 6 weeks, so I was very disappointed with that. He was the person who stepped into my shoes, Tony. The Plaid Cymru, or he was Plaid Cymru, Rhys ap Iwan. He got done for being a sex pest in a taxi, apparently, allegedly groping some young girl. I don't know what the truth of it is, but he was found guilty, which doesn't really mean a great deal, to be honest, when you get found guilty by standards. Because I got found guilty over intimidating a politician called Mick Antony, a senior Labour person. He was in charge of the law in Wales until recently. He was council general, they call it. And he was so frightened of me, he couldn't walk around the parliament, apparently, because I chased him. I went to headbutt him. I stopped him going to the chamber to vote. He was terrified. And people that witnessed my outrageous behavior, do you know they couldn't sleep? I was so bad. And anyway, I got the CCTV. Okay. They didn't want to give it to me, but they had to. And I got the CCTV and it didn't happen. It's all on video. So I went to the standards committee naively thinking there was no issue because obviously you watch the CCTV, it just didn't happen. So the complainants either had a collective bad memory, which is possible, memory's not perfect, or they were all liars, one or the other. There's no in between. So either mistaken bad memories or they lied deliberately. Again, the standards committee refused to watch the CCTV. They said they had enough evidence off the complainants. So probably let me put this into a little more context with the very woke organization, the very woke institution who always bang on about anti-racism and George Floyd and all this. I was the first Welsh-born member of colour. I'm before a committee of all white people. I have evidence which proved my innocence, and they refused to look at the evidence. And they believed the racist tropes of a dark person being aggressive, frightening the poor white man. And it's such an irony, such an irony.
Well, I mean,
I
it
was out.
strikes me that, I mean, should be maybe a matter for the police. This is a conspiracy and a misconduct in public office. This, which is, if you're found guilty of that, you can do up to life in prison.
I mean, the judge, the former standards commissioner, was investigated for misconduct of public office. I mean, at one point they were discussing that they'd already somebody one of the people there in the room had said that they'd already spoken to a senior lawyer in the Welsh Parliament, and basically they were very open to having my appeal dismissed. That was when they found me guilty. I hadn't even put my appeal in, but they said, oh, McAvoy, he's going to appeal. And again, I'm a catalyst for change, Tony, because after my appeals, the Welsh Parliament abolished the appeals process with standards. So if you're found guilty by the standards committee now, you can no longer appeal because they said I'd abused the process by appealing my being found guilty several times. I mean, when I was in the Senedd, all my emails that I'd sent from my Senedd account, all the emails I'd received, all my council emails I'd sent and received were all, how can we say, examined, let's say. They didn't find anything. So they then went to the server and recalled everything I'd deleted. I think it was, I can't remember whether it was, whether the system allowed it for 6 or 18 months, but they recalled everything that I'd deleted and they still couldn't find anything. But they had enough headlines generated by the BBC. It's funny you say about the it's funny you say about the South Wales Police because they prosecuted me for leaving my house during lockdown. So despite the fact that I was going to work, despite the fact that I was using the legislation as they were to enable them to do their jobs, I was prosecuted and put before a court. And they had the headlines leading up to the election. So I'm being prosecuted. I don't listen. I think I'm a law unto myself, all that kind of stuff. When I got to court, and this is going to sound interesting for somebody of my political persuasion who believe in a sovereign, I believe in a sovereign Wales. And I've always wanted to devolve things for Wales, but I must say, I want that to stop now. I wouldn't give them a single iota more, a bit of more power until we see a culture change in Welsh politics and we have things like a written constitution. Because when I walked into the court on the 21st of October 2021, I automatically assumed I was going to be found guilty. And it was a revelation for me to be in a criminal court and be tried under the jurisdiction of England and Wales. So effectively, an English legal system under common law with a whole load of protections for me as somebody innocent until proven guilty. And the case was dismissed. There was no complainant. They got the charge wrong, which the judge did allow them to amend. They hadn't sent me all the evidence. Some of the evidence they hadn't sent me at all. There were no witnesses on the day. And the judge called the prosecution appalling. And I walked out of court without a stain on my character, but I'd already undergone the character assassination. And the process was the punishment, you see, as well. And that this is a common theme,
Yeah,
even though
well, I
even.
mean, when you're talking about Sovereign Wales, the media's got to be an important part of this. And there's so much. I mean, I've covered over the years with Maurice Kirk and Tony Roach, for example, people who've been victims of South Wales Police, serious miscarriages of justice like the Clydach murders and this kind of thing, that the press has really got to get its act together. Because unless you've got a genuinely independent press which is prepared to stick up for the public, it's almost impossible. I suppose the same goes for the whole of the Western world, really, Neil. But anyway, look, we've just had this general election, but before we talk about that, we've had a massive upheaval this week. At least
Well,
that's the
actually,
way it's been put in Welsh politics.
there's a nice stepping stone there because what you talked about the media, it's been really interesting because for the first time in my lifetime, a first minister has faced fair scrutiny, and it's never happened before. And possibly, maybe I could even name one journalist, Martin Shipton. I think maybe the sea change has been him being freed from the shackles of Wales Online and Trinity Mirror and working for the smaller news outlet called Nation.Cymru. And I've been really critical of them in the past, I think justifiably so, because when I was implied, they gave me great press. When I left, the awful press and sort of cancelled me for a while. But Martin Shipton is working for them now and has been a real thorn in the government side and really has held Vaughan Gethin to account far more effectively than any other media person, any politician. And the First Minister has just simply had to answer questions. For example, why did he take £200,000 off a convicted criminal to fund his leadership election campaign to become leader of the Labour Party in Wales? Did he see any conflict there? Did he see any conflict of interest, knowing that the day the money was given to him, the individual had made a plan and application to the Welsh government for a solar farm. And also the fact that he was given £200,000. The Vaughan Gethin's department had signed off a loan previously to the convicted criminal for £400,000. So Vaughan Gethin has been very eloquent and maybe arrogant in saying that he's done nothing wrong and he's broken no rules, broken no laws. Absolutely correct. But he's had questions to answer and he's come unstuck. And I think the reality is for the first time, and let me just say, I've been on social media. I've been a big supporter of Vaughan Gething. I'm absolutely gutted, really, really disappointed that he's resigned. He resigned yesterday because he was the first, he would have made history, in my opinion. He was a history maker because he was going to be the first Labour First Minister to take them to defeat in 2026 because he'd been rumbled. And that's the reason why they've got rid of him. Not because he's done anything wrong or has got poor judgment, simply because the wider public had cottoned on. I think there was a real feeling out there that they'd had enough, which really wasn't detected in the Westminster election because those were done on Westminster things, really. And whereas the Welsh politics were getting more and more localized, more and more national Welsh politics now. And I really think he would have lost the election in 2026. So he has gone. Four of his colleagues resigned yesterday, and he then resigned. They resigned from his government, said they couldn't serve under him, and he then resigned as well. Unfortunately, I'm really gutted, to be honest.
Well, you're saying you are, but surely, I mean, this whole idea of taking £200,000 from a criminal to fund your campaign, I mean, in a way, it's almost as if he's set himself up to fail, or at least to see. I mean, you get the idea that people like this are just seeing what they can get away with rather than actually, in any way, a serious politicians, he not even pretending to represent the public anymore.
I think you're missing one key point. He did not expect any scrutiny. He expected to be treated like every other first minister has been treated, where things that could have been made public, things that could have got in the public domain, never did. And when, for example, first ministers have lied in the past, they've never been picked up on it. They've been allowed to lie. And the media's repeated the lies as well. So he felt really hard done by, and he didn't know what was going on really. He was like, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. Is it because I'm black, basically? So because he was black, because he is black, he felt the media were targeting him because of his color. And I think really he has been treated differently to other first ministers, white first ministers. But for me, the reason is I believe that the probably the only journalist in Wales, really, almost, Martin Shipton, has been freed of the shackles of Trinity Mirror and is now working for a publication where he can publish what he needs to publish and wants to publish. So he's gone after Vaughan Gething, justifiably so. And they're not used to it. They're not used to the heat in the kitchen because they've never had it before. And I'm hoping that maybe it'll carry on. But they'll appoint somebody with a much better idea of PR. Much more vanilla, let's say, in terms of charisma bypass. And they'll hope to calm the Welsh public and get over the line again in 2026 with the Welsh parliamentary elections. But I would hasten to add as well, I think Gething brought heat with the way that he behaved, and they were very, very uncomfortable with attention. So everybody in that bay, I call it Corruption Bay, by the way. It's not Cardiff Bay, Corruption Bay. Everybody in that cesspit will be relieved that Gething has gone because they will hope that they can get back to normal and have very, very little scrutiny. But we'll see whether that
Well,
transpires.
that's a fascinating insight. Now, look, you've just fought the general election campaign, Neil. Take us through that because I know you have all sorts of questions about the way you were treated as a candidate, particularly again by the press, but just generally, and also actually getting your message out to the public through the letterbox.
I'll take you back to 2022, if that's okay, because with a new party, difficult to establish yourselves at the beginning with in terms of brand. Nobody'd heard of us. We were given 6 weeks before the election in 2021 to set up and get elected. That was impossible, clearly. But we were not allowed to set up as a political party until the 2nd of March 2021. We were not allowed to call ourselves party. Okay. So that's why we're called Propel. And 2022, going for re-election, and we were professionally hacked. All our data, all our up-to-date data was destroyed by somebody who really knew what they were doing. There was no, we called in a consultant. It was impossible to trace who did it. They were pretty clever in what they did. And it appeared that they were actually listening to me in my living room as well when my laptop was on. I didn't realize Wi-Fi was so hackable. I know now. Anyway, so if anyone out there wants to be slightly more secure, then use a wired connection rather than Wi-Fi. But anyway, 2 weeks before the election, this may be news to you, had a knock on the door from Children's Services, and I was under investigation. There were anonymous allegations that I'd harmed my son, and they couldn't tell me when. That there were things that supposedly happened. They couldn't tell me what happened. They couldn't tell me what harm had occurred. They hadn't spoken to my son's doctor. They hadn't spoken to my son's nursery. So therefore, I do this work every day, Tony. I shouldn't have been under investigation because they should have checked with those agencies. And my son's doctor actually wrote that he felt that it was malicious because there was an election on. Anyway, I was placed under investigation. And so that really screwed up. Not only were we hacked, but I had to take care of family matters, obviously, first and foremost. And that really screwed up the last 2 weeks of our campaign. I was given the all clear on the day of the election, when it's no, not the day of the election, the day they were counting the votes, midday. Oh, no longer under investigation. Nothing to look at. No problem at all. Thank you very much. What then happened on the well before then, somebody all I'll say to you is somebody in the know said to me, "Look, Neil, this is a tip for people standing for election, by the way, because I've been in politics since I was 17 and didn't know this." They said to me, "Neil, look, do yourself a favor, get yourself coded ballot box ties, right?" I said, "Well, why is that?" And this person said to me, "Because they cannot be cut. Now the votes were being kept overnight anyway." So I went off and got coded ballot box ties, took them around on the night to the polling station. So I went to one polling station, gave them the ties. They were yellow, but they were coded, so nobody can cut them without my knowledge because I've got the codes. And I went to the second station, gave them the codes. They refused to put them on because they said they were the wrong color. My color was yellow, apparently, and I was giving them red ones. Which was, I found that amusing because clearly the first polling station had contacted the second one. So they were obviously discussing it. Anyway, I told them that it was the law that if I wanted coded ballot box ties, then I would get coded ballot box ties. And I gave them four. And went around all the other polling stations, no issue. Got to the count the next day. There was one ballot box which wasn't secured with my ties, our ties, let's say. And apparently, three out of the four of the ties broke and they couldn't put them on. We learned a lesson there again because next time, anytime we're serious about winning an election, we will supervise the ballot box ties, the coded ballot box ties being put on. How do such ties break? Three of them, ludicrous. And that ballot box had more votes in it than came out. How does that work? This is factual. How does that work?
How do you know that?
The figures were there. they couldn't add up. They didn't add up, and they said, "Look, there's a mistake here. We don't know where it is." I wanted a recount, and they refused me a recount because two of our candidates lost. I won, but the other two lost. So I wanted a recount because I wanted to take the other two with me as winners. Because I believe we could have won that election, but we were refused a recount.
I mean, this is another reason, really, that the ballot boxes should be taken straight to the count. Was there some
Yeah.
sort of delay there?
They were left overnight. No CCTV.
Overnight. Okay.
No
Well, they were
CCTV.
doing the same with the mayoral elections here in Bristol. And I think, I'm not sure it was the local elections. I think it may have been two. And there got to be suspicion about leaving ballot boxes overnight in a secure. I mean, who's doing the security for these places? Who could get in
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
change things? I mean, you've got all sorts of things. Like, for example, you've only got a pencil cross in many of these. That's what they give you. You can actually take your own pen and use that, but these can be just rubbed out and votes changed overnight. Anyway, look,
Yeah.
how did
Do
you
you want to
so
fast
gave?
forward?
Yeah, please, to the
Fast
general
forward.
election campaign.
The... Sorry, I'm going on. I'll fast forward.
No, it's fascinating, Neil. No, I'm not criticizing you at all.
So we're a new party, as I said. Anyway, in the press, there was a bit of a stink because one of the independent candidates had his leaflet delivered to the wrong constituency. That was in Newport. Didn't happen to any of the established parties. Establishment part of the Uni Party didn't happen to them. They're all the same. So anyway, I got my leaflets in, and on time. I didn't. The team did. Everything was done. They were all batched. Lovely. They started to be delivered. I was delighted. I got the leaflet through the post. I was quite pleased with the leaflet because it was more wordy than usual, but it had sort of my political CV on, and people may not have realised what I'd done over the years. So I was quite pleased with that. And then I started getting messages off people waiting for our leaflet. And then I said, "Look, that's okay. It's all in hand. It'll come tomorrow. It'll come tomorrow." And the next day, it'll come tomorrow. Anyway, to cut a long story short, by the Tuesday, when before the election, so 2 days before, we were running out of time. And I'd been chasing the post office, and I was told, "Look, it's all fine. Everything's in hand." Anyway, a number of the constituency of Cardiff West. I'll just name some areas. People won't know them, but you get an idea of how widely our leaflet was not distributed. You've got Canton, Fairwater, Ceira, Ely, Llandaff, Rhada, Pontyclun, all wards in the constituency. In every one of those wards, people complained they had not received our leaflet. And they were people as well who, first of all, I wasn't too concerned because people tend to forget they've had a leaflet or it's come with their other paper, they've thrown it out. They've got a very short lifespan leaflet. So I wasn't too concerned. But when people who were looking out for our leaflets didn't have one delivered, then the alarm bells were ringing. So I did a couple of social media posts on Facebook and Twitter, and I was horrified by the response. The number of people who said they hadn't got the leaflets, a number of Propel members didn't get a leaflet. My mother, Tony, my mother, bless her, was waiting for my leaflet and it didn't arrive. And the post office insist that they delivered them all. That's not true. So I'm waiting for their response now. I'm going to give it until tomorrow. If I don't get a better response off them, then I'll be reporting to the police because it's criminal. And I was told by a helpful person from Royal Mail that the initial investigation they did was an absolute joke. And ludicrous because it was done within a few hours. And if you're going to investigate non-delivery properly, you cannot do that in a few hours. And that's what they did.
Yeah, well,
So,
we've had this the failure of postal votes up in Scotland too to be allowed to get through, which also seemed to me to be deliberate for whatever reason,
but
probably
also,
to favour the Uni Party. Any other problems with the general election?
BBC Wales, as ever, bless them. They mentioned every party standing except us. Again, contrary to election law. So we need to go to Ofcom on that. We did complain to the BBC, but our Ofcom are the people, I think. Also, this is how petty it is in terms of cancellation. After the election, with the results, BBC Wales would not put our logo on the website. So the most obscure parties have their logo on the website, and we don't. And there's no explanation for that other than political bias. There was one other interesting thing as well in terms of the fairness of media coverage. One of my opponents, the Plaid Cymru Party of Wales candidate, had a conviction for drink driving, fairly recent, within the last 3 years, over twice, tw more than twice over the limit. And she was campaigning for safer roads. Now, she hadn't been open about her conviction, neither had Plaid Cymru. And again, it was uncovered by Nation.Cymru and Martin Shipton, which unfortunately has a very small readership and small reach. But the BBC said that it wasn't newsworthy, and Wales Online didn't find it newsworthy either. So the two biggest media outlets in Wales decided that in an election, in somebody who they had featured on TV in different interviews as a spokesperson for the their political for the, for Plaid Cymru, the political party. I just it's incredible that a person campaigning for safer roads with a secret drink driving conviction, it's incredible that that's not newsworthy. So people voted for her on the basis that they actually didn't know her full background. And again, what you have there is the institutional bias in Wales for the Labour Party and Plaid Cymru. I'll give you some examples. The leader of Plaid Cymru is an ex-BBC newscaster. The head of strategy for Plaid Cymru is an ex-BBC journalist. Actually, he's the only journalist, the first journalist that I refuse to do interviews with. I think you know I'm quite amenable. I'll do an interview for anyone. I'll always have a chat, you know. But this individual was so, I found him to be so disreputable that in the end, I refused to have interviews with. I just refused to interview,
Hang
do
on, what, when you mean disreputable, what do you mean by that? So, I mean, surely you, as a politician, have got to agree to be doing interviews. Otherwise, you're, you know, it would take an extreme
Yeah, I mean,
person as an individual for you to for anybody really to say no. I mean, I get it all the time, actually. Here in Bristol, for example, Carla Denyer, who's the new MP, about 2 years ago, she refused to acknowledge my request for her to be interviewed on the radio in Bristol. So, you know, what is it? What was it that this guy had done? Who was he, and what had he done
His name is
to actually get you to think, no, I'm not going to do any interviews with this guy, even though he can give me massive exposure?
Well, I suppose his nickname in Wales is Aled Ap Trydydd. Trydydd is third in Welsh because he came third in a winnable seat in 20, whenever it was. So I'm being a bit sort of catty there. But Aled Ap Dafydd, his name is. And did I use the right term, disreputable? I put it this way. I found his journalism so poor and so biased and so discriminatory that I no longer wanted to engage with him. So every time he would phone me, he would never accept my answers. Would always, I mean, resurrect stories that they were non-stories. And it got to the point where I didn't want to spend 15, 20 minutes of a day talking to him, killing a story, which wasn't a story. In the end, tell you what, mate, if you want to print that, go ahead and print it, and you can deal with the consequences afterwards, okay? That was my attitude. And I just didn't want to engage. When I was going through the complaints process, I found it interesting that he knew more about my complaints than me. I was going through the complaints process with Plaid Cymru at the time. All these complaints were made against me. And I just found it really interesting. So in those days, I did speak to him because if I wanted to find out what was going on with my complaint, I would speak to this BBC journalist, which may sound, I don't know how it sounds, but it was a bit odd, but it was working for me at the time. So, and then it got to the point where It turned out that the head of comms in Plaid was actually having he was in a secret relationship with the head of comms of Plaid. So I suspect, I can't prove it, but I suspect, given that they were in a relationship, I suspect that he was getting the information from her. But of course, the complaints process was secret, secure, and she clearly shouldn't have known and probably wouldn't have known
Well,
what was
we had
going
here in
on.
Bristol, we had the mayor and one of the leaders of the Labour group discussing the intimate details of a confidential complaint in full council in front of the public and the press. So
Yeah, I
this is
mean,
the sort of thing, you know, that the there isn't any kind of keeping to procedure. But look, you're describing, as I said before, you're describing here a clique.
yeah, I
Really,
think
a conspiracy, you could call it, of a few people, both in the two main parties, and as you said, the Lib Dems, plus their communications people. So, do you want to finish something up?
can I add to that? Because the head of comms for Plaid Cymru went on to be, I think she's head of comms for the Welsh Parliament now. So she was appointed there. And I mean, I've got to be honest, Tony. I mean, she just wasn't very good at a job in Plaid. I mean, she was pretty poor. I remember her having a mental breakdown almost one Christmas time, crying on my shoulder about whatever it was. And she's, oh my God, what do you do with this sort of thing? Comfort, sympathetic. And then she turns out to be one of the people stabbing me, effectively, it would seem. But anyway, move on from that. So you've got the leader, you've got the head of strategy. The former chief executive of Plaid Cymru went to work for that lobbying firm, Derryn, and now she's a director of BBC Wales. And I mean, there's another one worked for Derryn, another Plaid insider. She's working for ITV Wales. So, I
Yeah, I
mean,
mean, yeah. So
incestuous.
you're backing up my point here that there
Yeah.
is a clique. It's a small group of people, almost a sort of feudal system in a way. You can almost imagine this going on in medieval Wales. But the fact is, you do have some degree of autonomy gotten from Tony Blair in Wales. Do you think there's any way to fix this? And if so, what is it, Neil?
I think there is. It's going to be more difficult because they've gone for a proportional system. So I think I don't think I explained this fully earlier. So I went as an independent because I could, but they're bringing in a list system, so that can never happen again. So you're going to be elected for the party, not as an individual. So your name's not going to be on the ballot paper. So if you do step out of line, they can sack you immediately and bring somebody else in. And the threshold for the proportion is actually high. It's 12%, which is quite a high threshold for a small party. So what we're doing is we're looking at the election result. We only got 2.5% in Westminster, but not great. Way behind the 12% we need. But it's not all doom and gloom because it wasn't our election. Our leaflets were not delivered. I'm working full time now, so I only went out three times during the campaign, Tony. And I mean, usually I go out twice a day, every day. I'm out all day usually, but so I did a minimal amount of work. Also, people were telling me that they wouldn't vote for me for Westminster, but would vote for me for the Welsh elections. So I was cool with that because I had no interest in being elected anyway. I didn't tell anybody what I would do were I to be an MP because I mean I wasn't going to be. So my focus was on the Welsh Parliament then. So what we're doing is we're organising. We know we have to up our game because we're a volunteer party, and we just cannot continue like that. So we're looking around. We're looking at professionalising things. So. And we're looking to 2026, 2027, and 2030. We had a great meeting last Friday with it's great being the second oldest person in the room. You had the chair who was is 72, I think, 71, me 54, and then the rest were in their 30s and 20s, which is great. And I think the established parties are not really seeing that because at the moment, I suppose we're kind of a duck, really. You just see the surface, and there's not too much going on. The website is poor. We're getting that updated. We're totally renewed, actually. And going forward, so I'm looking forward to 2026, 2027, 2030. Cancellation hasn't worked. We'll see what they do next.
Now, I mean, you are actually a nationalist, Welsh Nationalist Party, but you're not allowed to call yourself that, are you? Don't you think
No.
that sort of blunts your political edge somewhat? That somebody somehow has persuaded you're not allowed to have any kind of hint of nationalism in your title apart from the dragon.
Yeah, we're not allowed to call ourselves party. We couldn't call ourselves the Welsh Nation Party. We couldn't call ourselves the Welsh National Party. Those names weren't allowed. We settled on Propel. We're going to be balloting our members soon about a change of name, which is going to be Propel the People's Movement, which I prefer. That's more what we are really. We're not really a party as such in the traditional sense. So I think the name is there. We're establishing the brand. We'll add to it by calling ourselves. Hopefully, people will agree, and we'll call ourselves the People's Movement, and we'll just crack on and
So,
get it.
look, I mean, where do people find you, follow you? I mean, obviously, social media is rather compromised. They have this thing called shadow banning, where anybody that really stands up for humanity, their hits are reduced by about 10,000-fold, as we've seen with people like the former ambassador Craig Murray, completely reined back. So he's getting something like a thousandth of the number of impressions that he was before the shadow banning. So, how do people get hold of you?
Twitter, I'm Neil J. McEvoy, McEvoy. So those traditional methods. Our website is www.propel.wales. Again, it's quite a poor website at the moment, but we're in the process of upgrading that and hitting the ground running. We're going to have a conference on the 15th of September in Cardiff, and we will be coming out fighting.
Neil McAvoy, thanks very much for joining us.
Jochen Bauer, thank you.